Listen to Today with Sean O'Rourke with the RTE Radio Player.
Moving abroad can be an intimidating experience, and whether it's for a few months or more permanently, the culture shock can be startling for many people. The Irish Council for Prisoners Overseas has launched a new awareness campaign known as Good to Know Before You Go, with the aim of encouraging young immigrants to prepare themselves for the new laws, behaviours and cultural quirks that exist in other countries. With me now in studio, Joanna Joyce, coordinator of the ICPO Maynooth office, and on the line, Alan Brogan, the Dublin football star, who has been part of this campaign based on his own experience of living and working abroad for some periods. Joanna, can you first of all explain the reasons for this campaign? You're not talking about just people staying out of prison, though that might be one element of it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we know that most people will have a fantastic experience when they're travelling and living overseas. But unfortunately, we've seen an increase in the number of young immigrants getting into trouble and spending a period of time in prison in Australia. So, for example, in 2013, we had 4 clients in Australia, and this year we're in contact with 21 Irish prisoners in Australia. And sadly, we see alcohol as a feature in many of the offences that are committed by younger Irish immigrants overseas. So really with this campaign, we're just trying to speak to young immigrants, particularly those who are maybe travelling or living away overseas for the first time, to just, like you say, make them aware of cultural differences and of the importance of adhering to local laws and customs, and also then to raise awareness of our service. So if people do get into difficulty, they know that we're here to
and
help.
I suppose it's partly clearly the criminal awareness is one thing, but maybe part of this thing is just making people aware that what might be ordinary tomfoolery, we call it here, can be seen much more seriously in other places.
Yeah, absolutely. So obviously, you know, certain things are offences in Ireland, so drugs offences, violent crimes, that would be treated the same here as it is overseas. But there might be laws that people aren't aware of. So, for example, in the UAE...
That's United Arab Emirates,
exactly,
yeah.
Exactly, the United Arab Emirates, public displays of affection are considered very disrespectful, and you can actually be arrested or receive a police caution for holding hands in public, for example. So things like that people might not be aware of. But also, like you say, just how the law is dealt with might be quite different. So, you know, what we might consider friendly banter in Ireland with a guard might be considered very disrespectful if you speak the same way to a police officer, and could be interpreted as not following the directions of a police officer in the US or Australia.
Sometimes they don't appear to share our sense of humour, and maybe best not to try them out.
Exactly. And it can be very, like you say, very simple things, very innocent things. People can get themselves into difficulty really without meaning to. And yeah, exactly. The humour can be quite different. So just we really need to be conscious of that.
Alan Brogan, good morning to you.
Morning, Sean.
And thanks for coming on the line. Now, I don't suppose, and I gather you didn't actually end up in trouble yourself, but what are the kind of things that one could usefully, in your own case, have been aware of before you headed off? I think in your case, to either Australia or the United States.
Yeah, no, thank God I had some wonderful experiences abroad in America for a summer and 6-7 months in Australia. And I think it's as Joanna stated there, it's very important for our young people going abroad to be aware of the customs and laws in these places and to embrace them as well. I think one of the main things with travelling abroad is experiencing other countries' customs and as I said, embracing them.
Was it particularly difficult in your case to adapt, or were there things that you could, as I say, usefully have known beforehand that might have made the experience even more enjoyable?
Yeah, I think it is important to accustom yourself to the local laws and to understand, as Joanna said, how maybe speaking to a guard here is a little bit different to speaking to a guard in a place like the UAE. So small things like that, and that's the whole aim of the programme is a social media awareness campaign to make people aware of these little pieces of information that may help when you travel abroad.
What were the kind of things that surprised you most when you found yourself in one or other of those places, Alan?
I lucky enough kept myself out of trouble, so I never had any brushes with the law in places like that. But as I said, obviously, it's very important that you're aware of the laws in these places. It's obviously depends on the country you're going to, that it's kind of up to the individual to read up on the laws in those places.
And would you be concerned? Because I think, by and large, people from this country, be they young or old or middle-aged, we have a fairly good reputation of being able to adapt, and there's a lot of goodwill towards us. Would you be concerned that needs to be protected and preserved?
Yeah, no, there certainly is. I think any place I've travelled to, there certainly is a fondness towards Irish people, and I think the young people or anyone travelling abroad from Ireland now has a responsibility to kind of uphold that fondness or to uphold that legacy for the people that might come after us. And certainly when I travelled abroad to the States in particular, I got a job on the back, not saying it was because I was from Ireland, but it certainly helped. So there is a fondness out there for Irish people, so it is very important to maintain that.
Somebody said you didn't quite scale the heights in the world of scaffolding. Tell me about that experience.
No. I worked as a scaffolder in Australia. I'd say I was probably the worst scaffolder that ever got onto a building site. But again, it was probably because I was from Ireland and like in my own community, the GA community, we tend to look after each other. And I suppose that's a great support network for people abroad, that if people are lonely or are struggling abroad, that like the GA stretches tentacles right out to every corner of every corner of the world at this stage. So
the other thing I gather is they're prepared to stretch their county boundaries quite a bit, right over to the west of Ireland in your case.
Yeah, no, certainly my grandmother and grandfather are from Mayo, so I have some family blood going back to.
I know, but is it true you played for Sligo at one stage?
I did indeed. I played for Sligo abroad when I was in New York, and we didn't do that well, unfortunately. But certainly enjoyed my time over there.
Alan, I can't let you go without asking you, because it's 2 weeks today that, particularly in the Examiner, they had the picture of yourself and your young son on the front page and tears streaming down his face, and you weren't looking too happy yourself after that loss to Donegal. How have you been since?
Yeah, no, it was obviously difficult at the time. I suppose as each day goes past, it gets easier, and I suppose that's the beauty of sport, and that life goes on, and we all have to go back to work and we have to get on with our lives. So I suppose time heals wounds like that, and certainly it'll probably be tough watching next weekend now when I sit down to watch the All Ireland final. But as I said, time heals those wounds, and you just got to move on and get on with it.
And during the programme, in fact, around about this time, we were hearing reports of some tweets to the effect that you were retiring. Now, you quickly clarified that, but have you given that any further thought since?
Yeah, no, I'm not sure where the story came from, to be honest with you, but I don't think in the immediate aftermath of a game like that, or even 2 weeks after, at times you're making a huge decision like that. Obviously, I take some time off now and maybe sit down with family and people I trust over the next few months, and we make a decision before Christmas. But obviously the time that goes into it now, you have to be really, really committed to it, and it's not something you can do in half measure, so it'll be a big decision, but I'll take my time with it.
There was clearly a great expectation. I'm just wondering if this was something that perhaps, even despite your best efforts and those of Jim Gavin and the people around and experienced guys, that there was such an overwhelming expectation that the Dubs were going to go all the way this year on the basis of what happened prior to the semi-final. What are your own thoughts and those of colleagues just chatting afterwards and reflecting? Where did it go wrong? Apart from the scoreboard, obviously.
Yeah. I suppose, Alex, there's some small things that if we were to play the match again tomorrow, that we'd certainly change. We probably left ourselves a little bit open at the back. And I think if we were to play again, we would learn some lessons. So just look, there's a learning curve comes out of every game you play, and we'll certainly sit down over the next few months, and we'll analyse where we went wrong and how we fell down so badly on the day. But no, there was a huge expectation, but I think that's always there in Dublin, particularly over the last few years. So that's kind of something that's built up from the outside. We tend not to pay too much attention to that.
And in a couple of sentences, finally, Alan, who do you think is going to win next Sunday and why?
Very difficult call. I think Kerry will learn a huge amount from watching Donegal's win against us. But I think Donegal will be high in confidence now. We'll go for them by a couple of points.
Alan, thanks a million for joining us, and the best of luck in whatever way or direction your career leads. Alan Brogan there, Dublin footballing forward. Now coming back to you, Joanna Joyce, coordinator of the Irish Council for Prisoners Overseas. Generally speaking, do you find that people, despite the renewed levels of emigration that we've seen in particularly the last 5 or 6 years, a lot of them still go abroad not properly ready for what's facing them?
Well, I think people, you know, they do make plans and they decide where they're going to go, and hopefully they'll have thought about where they'll live and where they might work. But yeah, I think with younger immigrants, you know, some people are just excited to get out there and have a bit of an adventure, and maybe they've thought, you know, about the first month, but maybe they haven't thought any further than that. And I think a really important thing is for people to be aware that, you know, when you're living so far from home, you might not have the same support structures in place that you would have here in Ireland. And it can be quite isolating, and if things don't go according to plan, you know, if you don't get the job or if you're just going through a rough time, it can be very easy to get into a difficult situation and not to know who to reach out to. So we would always encourage young immigrants to really be aware of that, to take care of their mental health and to reach out to ourselves and to other Irish support organisations or to the Irish Embassy or Consulate. There are fantastic Irish support networks out there available for people.
Clearly that is the case, and again, increasingly so in the last few years. But does it still happen, or would it frequently happen that somebody would find themselves literally all alone and not knowing what way to turn?
Yeah, I think absolutely. Very sadly, that can happen to people. Like I say, for the majority, it won't. You know, people will get a lot out of living and travelling overseas. And like Alan was saying, you know, Irish people are received very well all around the world. But I think quite easily things can take a turn for the worse. And it's just really important to be prepared for that. And especially in relation to, you know, crime. Like I say, if you're not aware of cultural differences, if you're not aware of laws and customs, very easily you could get yourself into a difficult situation.
So what does this campaign consist of, Joanna? What are the resources that people can tap into, courtesy of yourselves?
So we've produced a campaign video, and we've also produced posters with kind of information about different jurisdictions. And those are available on our new website, which is www.icpo.ie. They're also available through our Facebook page, Irish Council for Prisoners Overseas, and on our Twitter, ICPO Prisoners. And we've also made the posters available in citizens' information centres and third level colleges to reach people who will be emigrating. And I should just say that this campaign is funded by the Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade under their Emigrant Support Programme, so we're very appreciative of that support.
Okay, Joanna, thank you indeed for joining us. That's Joanna Joyce there, coordinator of the Irish Council for Prisoners Overseas. That's run by the Catholic Bishops, and Joanna based at their Maynooth office in County Kildare. Thanks also as well to Alan Brogan, from whom we heard earlier.